I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I'll piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh drugs. Call me private label, I'll be
oh yeah, welcome to episode 146 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son? You got that on. How you doing, honey? Man, we're having all kinds of messed up problems already. This ought to be a good show. How you doing, honey? And I'm calling you son.
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm not. Hey, it is what it is. Hey, thanks everybody for coming in. All right, this episode is always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And do I really even need to go through all the reasons why you might be wanting to consider that? I mean, my man Jack Spirico's even doing programs like, you better get it together, man. He just came out today, and everybody ought to check out the Survival Podcast. You'll be glad you did. There's no more talented podcaster out there than my man, Jack Spirico. Thunderstick and Debbie and Frank Family Homestead. Hey, thanks everybody for coming in. Anna, sorry I missed a lot of you guys.
Vicky.
Pete. Yeah, Pete the Squatchy. Hey, am I saying that right? Yeah, Pete the Squatchy. It almost sounds like something bad. Got something flying around in here. Hey, on the way in, y'all, make sure you hit that thumbs up. And let everybody know that it's time to suppress us. Because every time we do one of these, lo and behold, we get demonetized. And I don't know why. So let's just go ahead and give them a heads up by hitting the thumbs up. How about that, y'all? Hey, remember, if you would also like to check us out in another format, you can check it out on the Fountain app, where you can basically drop a derivation of Bitcoin called Satoshis. I can't remember. They call them sats, S-A-T's. So if you want to drop some S-A-T's on some P-I-M-P's, go check us out there on the Fountain app. You can triple up the speed. You can drop some of those sats over there and even leave questions that we can't access right now. So if you have any, be sure to email us, and we'll get to that on the show as always. So we're going to jump right into it. Hey, thanks a lot, everybody, coming in. Yes, Christ is King. That's what I'm talking about. Georgia here. Yeah, Michelle's always going to be on this one. The homestead honey herself. And I used to call you the permaculture princess, but I didn't realize somebody else already has that title.
Well, that's all right, because princess is not really what I'm all about anyway. So
yeah, well, I'll be a king. You're my queen on the hip-hop scene.
Not a queen either. No queens, no princess.
Yeah, all of the above. Anyway, she's a queen to me. All right, so we'll jump right into the farm news. You know, I put out a short the other day, and apparently, I don't know what happened there. It was one of the ones where I'm in the kitchen, and I'm talking about you slamming the doors and all that good stuff and everything. And some of the people in the comments, for some reason, seem to think I'm high.
What?
Yeah, some people say, look at his eyes. He's high. Oh, hi. No, it was just early morning, dude. I'm not a Hooter Bandit. Now, I'm not dogging you people out there that do a little puff puff give, but I ain't one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm high on life. I'm high on doing what I'm supposed to
we
do.
We did that was it a couple years ago? It was in the middle of a
last year.
Okay, yeah. It was last year when we were snowed in for a while. So
yeah, so I've been making some of those little shorts of some of the funnier stuff. I mean, we got so many heavy things going on in the world right now. And then when I'm able, you know, it's one thing if we're doing some educational content and things like that, but every once in a while, I'll throw in some of the comedy, or at least try to. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I want to make sure everybody's at least doing a little bit of that laughing, because it is good for the spirit. So back to the farm stuff. I was out there this morning, and it's cold out here, and was making some extract. This compost extract. And folks, I'm gonna encourage everybody out there, learn how to do it. Learn how to take these things that you can make yourself that are better than anything you can even dream to buy in most cases, and make some really good extract out of it. Michelle, you want to tell them why they might want to consider that?
Well, for a bunch of reasons. Making your own compost, you're going to make it native to where you are. So you're going to have the best organisms for your place. And there will actually be life in it. A lot of this bag stuff, the bag stuff has very little of anything in it. And the stuff you get from your municipalities is basically a sterilization process. So it has absolutely nothing in it.
That's why she's the homestead honey. No, that's a fact. I mean, even if you can find somebody who's local that's maybe doing some really good stuff, you might want to go check them out. Because right now, the fertilizer issues and all the other things that are almost certainly... Look, y'all, I know we don't cover a lot of bad news necessarily on this podcast, or at least try not to. We got rid of the bad news section altogether, but it doesn't mean that I'm not up on it. I'm in the kind of career where I spend a lot of my day outside. And when I'm out there, if I'm not memorizing Bible verses or doing some of the other things I'm doing, I'm listening to a podcast. And a lot of that time is spent trying to drum myself up on these things that, honestly, if you're not, what did you say regarding the whole thing with the COVID, that if you weren't prepared, if that didn't convince you, what was it you said?
If that should be the only experience you need to be prepared. Because, and if you came through COVID and you don't feel the need to get prepared, there is nothing I can tell you or I'm going to say that's going to change your mind.
And with that statement right there, we just got demonetized. So yeah, we're going to have to use a little bit of code language, honey, but it's all good. I don't really care. I mean, it's not like they're paying us anything anyway. So yeah, have at it. Might as well demonetize this one too, just like you've been doing all the others. So anyway, consider those extracts and things out there that you can do that are going to help you stretch what little compost you have. It's important. And especially right now through the fall and winter, especially when it starts to get cold, if you can get that stuff put out in something of an aqueous form and get it down in that soil, a lot of the life in your soil over that winter, depending on where you live, if you have any of that snow cover and all that good stuff, I mean, the decomposition process happens even faster under those things. So it enables you to be able to really, 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 even though everything above ground, and my man Stefan Subkowiak really talked about this a lot, even though like when you prune a tree, all of the action that's happened, there are unbelievable, magical things that are happening underneath the ground during the fall and the winter. And the same thing happens with your grasses that you might be grazing or any other thing. So this is a really good time. This is why we've been all over the composting stuff, not only because it's a really good time to get ahead of it, really good time to get materials right now in the fall, but also because of what is unfolding right now. Things are getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And we're never going to be one of those channels that just talks about all the problems without then offering a solution as well.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. All right. So we got some other news today. So we had to go to the vet office. Why don't you tell them what that experience was like? Because there's this vet. Okay. I'm just going to lead it up. I'll lead into it this way. All right. So we've been to this guy before and I ain't going to lie. He's as crazy as a three-headed cat. I mean, you just look at this dude and you can tell. I mean, it was like, stand 10 feet away. This was during the height of COVID, you know, the word we can't say. And then you go there. Tell them what happened with the dog.
Well, today was the first day. We've been there a few times over the years. And today was the first day I actually walked into the office, because before he would always come out and get your animals. So Nolly was limping a little bit. She's one of our puppies. She was limp, or she whimpered. I had her out in the field and I was doing something out there. I can't remember what it was. And she kind of yelped a little bit. And then she had trouble walking up the stairs. She yelped again. Well, that's happened with Milk Boy. And with Milk Boy, it was Lyme disease and it just affected that joint. So I was thinking, like, I didn't see her hurt herself. So I was thinking, she's probably just got Lyme disease. We need to just take her in and get her some antibiotics. So I called the vet and got her scheduled to go in the office.
Yeah, but what was the phone call like when you called and said, hey, I think this dog has Lyme disease? And what was the response?
Well, what would you like me to do?
Ain't you supposed to be the vet?
I was like, well, how about a test for Lyme disease to see if she actually has it? And then I get there and he does a little bit of his exam, never does a test for Lyme disease. He's like, I really don't think she has it.
All right. So the moral to the story in all of this, folks, good help is hard to find. Now, we did come across a vet a while ago when we were at a bakery on the way out to one of these events. And anyway, we ended up finding out where he is. And he actually listens to the program and watches the YouTube channel. And we're going to reach out to him.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't take her to him was because he was closed today.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be hitting him up. You know, we'll see if whatever concoction she put together and gave that animal tonight, we'll see if that works out. Yeah. Yeah. And you use some kind of weird Chinese resin?
Yeah, it's like traditional Chinese medicinal herbs just for Lyme disease. I was not wanting to go that route because I knew I would have to basically put it in a syringe and give it to her because I know she won't eat it, but that's what we had to do.
Yeah, well, that's what you had to do. Look, there's a part where I'm going to bow out, but the point is, man, hey, I should have got a clue when this guy has a vote for Biden on the back of his truck. Even now, I could say if you were weird and you still got it on there right now, you'd think you'd be scraping that bumper sticker off of there. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to give this clown my business anyway. If you're that dumb, I mean, yeah, you go there, call about an issue. It's like saying, oh, doc, I got a gunshot wound. And he says, where would you like me to start?
Well,
like,
the good thing about him is he does only what is absolutely necessary. But that's also the bad thing about him, because you can't get him to do certain things. So it's like you have these vets at the other end that are like, let me run up a bunch of tests and, you know,
been down that road. Yeah. Yeah. Where they, yeah. And that, just a little side note, when they pulled that one on us, there was another vet altogether, and it was a nearby town. And it was one of those vets offices that's owned corporately. Mm-hmm. It's a corporation. We go in there, take him for one thing, and we're thinking, okay, it's going to be $200. I go to pick him up. Oh, by the way, we had to do ABC. It's going to be like $1,500. And I'm like, all right, let me tell you that. And this is exactly how it went down. You were with me in the truck. I said, let me tell you exactly how this is going down. First of all, you didn't even call me and tell me that this was going to be going on. That's number one. Number two, I brought him in here for this. And then you're telling me you did all this other stuff to my dog and you shot him up. I brought him in here for Lyme's disease.
Yeah,
I think is what it was. And next thing you know, you're telling me he's got this, this, and this, and he's going to die. I'm like, okay, I got news for you. I ain't paying you. I'm going to pay you what you quoted me. Oh, we'll mess up your credit. I'm like, okay, knock yourself out. I'm my own bank. So, and I was furious. I'm like, you mean to tell me this is how you, how do you folks stay in business? You don't even call to tell me, hey, we're going to do this other treatment and it's going to cost like $800 more than the $200. I'm like, I'm gonna pay you my $200 because that's what we talked about, and I'm not paying you one dime more. And that's how it went down. So look, I mean, there's some Shylock vets out there too, man. They're just trying to shake you down because they know most people are emotional about their pets. Yeah. And they can shake you down for the change in your pocket.
Well, and that's the way they phrase it too. Well, it could be this, or it could be this life-ending thing that will, you know, we're just gonna have to, you don't want that to happen, do you?
Well, my response is, they're lucky they ain't talking to me, because it would be get a box, or I'm gonna do something naturally here at the house, and that's the way it's gonna go, because that's the way it's always been done. And now all of a sudden they're telling us, oh, Fluffy's gonna need A, B, C, and D. There's a whole lot of lonely old folks out there, I think, are getting fleeced.
Well, it's young,
by these vets.
But it's young people too. It's not just old people, it's younger people.
Yeah, but there's a lot of these young or older folks that don't necessarily have anybody else around, and these vets are going to shake them down, thinking, okay, well, I mean, how do you sleep with yourself at night pulling that kind of garbage? Well, like I said, do what you want to my credit, because I ain't paying you. This is a matter of principle. There's principalities involved, honey. All right, so we'll go on to other things. Well, check this out, y'all. I'm reaching out to some people right now. For a bunch of reasons, as you know, if you listen to this program at all, we do a lot of experience and we do them all the time. I've done some on grounding. And in fact, I'm going to do another video tomorrow on Patreon regarding how it's going with the grounding. I'm going to kind of give you a heads up today, but I'm going into more how to on Patreon. So it's not just grounding. I did. I'll be honest with you. I did a 2-day experiment with it where I didn't ground at all. Today concludes. I didn't even finish the second day. So I'm out there doing, as I was telling you a little while ago, doing some extract. I didn't ground today. I didn't do it yesterday. And I'm like, okay, well, let me try and see how I feel. I'd forgotten all about it. Okay. Go out there. And then I start feeling like, I don't know, not myself, just didn't feel right. And I said, okay, it's cold out here, but let me go ahead and take these rubber boots off and I'm going to walk barefoot on the ground. I did, sure enough. And then sure enough, I started feeling better. So we've talked about grounding. We've talked about a number of things, health modalities, whether it was using beetroot powder or a number of other things. Well, I've reached out to some folks and I'm going to try to get them on the show to talk about mitigation of 5G radiation and things of that sort. I, as a journeyman electrician with over 25 years experience, look, I know my way around some of this stuff. And when you put a Gauss meter in some of this stuff, you'd be shocked at what these things are pushing off. If you don't see me holding this right now, if you're listening to the audio version, I'm holding up a phone and these things are bombarding you all the time. In fact, France had to shut down the latest iPhone because of the radiation this thing was putting off. Yeah. Didn't hear about that on Fox News or CNN. Well, you ain't going to. So anyway, a lot of us to do business or to go about daily life or whatever the case may be, we're bombarded all day with this thing. And so I've been trying every single night, and somehow I forgot last night, I've grounded the bed, okay, the bed we sleep on. I turn off the Wi-Fi. All of the phones go in airplane mode, and we stick them out in the kitchen. And anything else is in a Faraday bag, or I got copper sheets hanging over it. Yeah, sounds a little extreme, but I can tell you, I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg, but how's your sleep lately?
It's been great. I mean, yeah, it's been better than ever, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mine has done better too. The only thing that needs correcting at this point is my diet. We're coming out of Thanksgiving, and today was the first day of basically eliminating gluten again from the diet and the whole nine yards. Look, I'm talking about all this stuff for a reason, y'all. I have been examining this stuff, and like I said, very seldom have I brought anything to you that I didn't already try out. And some of this stuff I'm trying out and I'll give you the report on it. I know a lot of people want to know right now, but I'm working on things that mitigate 5G where you can maybe attach to your phone or maybe you can put it in the house and it mitigates all the negative stuff that's coming off of it. So if you doubt me, Michelle, what happens every time we're out there when we work on bees and we film them? What happens when you break out your phone around those bees?
Yeah, they don't like it. They get, like, if you don't have a phone around and you hear them, it's like they buzz. But when there's a phone, it's like a very upset, not very happy.
You can't describe it. You got to know. Okay, so let's say the bees have a sound when you know they're happy.
Right.
And they do.
Yeah,
they do. And when they're a little bit agitated, you'll hear another sound. But when they are furious, you start smelling bananas.
Right. But also just, and they, like, we've had, I think William had his phone out there trying to film them and they kept dive bombing the phone.
We couldn't even get footage this year. So we had a little thing out there that would mitigate the 5G radiation, or was supposed to anyway. And we think it worked out pretty well the first season because everybody else that has bees around us, basically they all lost their hives. We're the only ones that didn't. And in fact, we gained some, well, everybody else was losing. So people are saying, well, the bees are dying because of neonicotinoid pesticides.
Right.
Or it could be the 5G. I'm going to vote for probably all of the above.
Right.
And it's like all the other different ways, whether they're dropping it from the sky, whether it's the radiation from your phone or whether it's the programming on TV.
Yeah, there's that too. There's the dropping it from the sky. If you watch The Dimming, which I just watched, finally.
It's a documentary. You got to explain that, honey. The Dimming is a documentary.
Okay.
Film.
Yeah. Sorry. But in this documentary, he was talking about how these bees have high levels of aluminum in them because of what's being dropped from the sky,
which is aluminum powder, barium salts, right, and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. And, but no, you go tell most people this, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Hey, just remember, the CIA invented that term right after the Kennedy assassination. You know what happened November 27, 1963. 60 years later, and we still don't have declassified stuff. Anyway, yeah, it was during that thing that happened November 22nd, 1963. It's the reason why the CIA invented conspiracy theory for anybody they want to marginalize, which it's worked so well that now we police each other with that same word. So the point that I'm trying to get at with all this stuff is, with all the stuff dropping from the sky, the 5G radiation, we could really, really see it in the smallest things like our insects. And we put that thing out there. It worked the first year. I'm not so sure it worked so great the second year. And the inventor that let me test drive this thing, he hasn't gotten back to me. So, you know, I can't even send this device back to him. So the point being is that there's something going on. We're the only ones that had this device, and we're the only ones that didn't lose their bees nearby. So is there something to it? I'm going to think that there might be. So I'm going to keep examining this stuff, and I'm going to find out. And like I said, when I tell y'all about this stuff, it's not because I get some kickback or somebody's asking me to do it. As always, the golden rule on this, when it comes to advertisers on this program, the YouTube channel, whatever, there is not one advertiser on there that I don't try their stuff and go to them and say, hey, you want to talk about this on the show? But this, look, I've done it before with some of the other people where I don't have an affiliate response, nothing like that. I'm doing it because it's a neighborly thing to do. And this is stuff I'm actually examining myself. So between the bees, if it's having that effect on the bees, what's it doing to the kid that's sitting in front of a freaking iPad all day or with a cell phone? And these are little ones right off. So if there's ways to mitigate that without carrying around a Faraday bag, I'm going to see if there is something. So I've got some people I'm reaching out to find out on that. All right. So some other stuff. Like I said, I can't overemphasize the fact that sleeping has improved immeasurably by A, grounding the bed, B, grounding myself during the day, C, turning off the Wi-Fi, D, moving the phones out of the room, putting them on airplane mode. And I'm talking like 30 to 40 feet away on the other side of the house. And things are working out pretty well. So folks, take what you can of that and maybe consider doing it. You shouldn't be sleeping around that Wi-Fi kicking anyway. So like I said, we'll go ahead and check more of that out. I know there's a lot of comments out there. Maybe we'll come to those in a minute. All right. So last little bit of farm news before we get into some of the other stuff is, got the sheep grazing up the side of the mountain. When I say the mountain, y'all, I'm talking stuff like this. Yeah, sheep can do that. Yeah, for those that can't see me, basically an angle that not too many other animals could tolerate. And they are doing a bang up job.
Yeah, they really are. And they act like, I mean, it doesn't even bother them. They go up and down pretty easy.
No, you couldn't get a cow of any type up and down a slope like this. And I was wondering how well these guys could do. Now, if you had a much larger bodied sheep, they might have a little bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. But these guys, not at all. I mean, they're very agile. So if you're dealing in some seriously rough terrain and if you think you can't do it, by the way, I want to give a shout out to the Independent Farmstead, because they were the ones that gave me the idea that you could actually graze things up slopes that are just unimaginable in most cases. And every time we try to film it, you can't ever get a good sense of slope.
No, you can't.
You can't. I mean, it's like you see them on a slope, but you can't tell just how unbelievably steep that is. It's all you could do, just try to walk up that thing. All right, before we get into the good news, just want to let y'all know, Pastor Lon, we don't have a segment from him tonight because he's feeling under the weather. So please, everybody, pray for Homesteading Pastor. And if you're not subscribed yet, go check him out, Homesteading Pastor on YouTube. You'll be glad you did. So in lieu of the bad news, good news section, we now have just the good news. How about that? So check this one out. Poll. 60% of Americans believe Joe Biden actively helped Hunter in his foreign business dealings. Well, heavens to Murgatroyd.
Only 60%?
Yeah. Well, if that's what they'll admit, you know it's considerably higher. I'm like, okay.
How about 99%?
I don't know about that. Or maybe they suspect, but most of them, or maybe they don't care. I don't know. We got vets driving around these days with, you know, Joe Biden stickers on the back of their vehicles. So anything's possible. I guess, you know, I'm like, maybe this is the beginning of something. Okay. So if people are going to question that, maybe, just maybe, they might start asking critical questions about what I just mentioned, 60-year anniversary of JFK being murdered from the front. Okay. Maybe people start asking questions about 9/11. what really happened there? Because if you think it was the official story, nope, ain't going to happen. And I'll argue, you get the consummate expert on this planet. You want to talk about Oklahoma City, 9/11, any of those things, I will go, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, with half my brain tied behind my back, and I will mop the floor with them because the evidence is on my side. So if anybody out there wants to have a debate and you believe the official story, hit me up. All right. Also, maybe it might make people start to question official stories about events that we won't talk about because they'll definitely kick us off regarding things that have just happened in the Middle East, where I'm supposed to believe, miraculously, that marauders basically did a D-Day invasion through one of the most heavily secured places on planet Earth. Nobody responds for 7 to 8 hours. And I'm just thinking they just had that coming. So, yeah, all these other coincidences, all these shootings that happen that are just all happen to be coincidences. Maybe that article is enough to get people to start asking critical questions about the other official stories we have. Because what did you say regarding official stories over the last X amount of years?
Well, which of them, I mean, they've turned out to be disproved. Like, which one has actually turned out to be the way that they've presented it on the news? Like, they've, none of them.
Name one that was, you know, some stories back when I was doing talk radio, some of these stories I knew quite a bit about. There, and I worked there, and every last one of them I knew of on a local station were all.
And it doesn't fabricated. Even take much. If you just look into some of them a little bit, you'll, like, back when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, it was a little harder to get information. But you look into it now, and there is so much information out there that disproves the official story.
Yeah, on all of this stuff. So that's what I'm hoping. Okay, so now people are starting to ask critical questions. They're starting to question the brainwashing. They're starting to say, oh my goodness, what did I just get into myself? What did I put into my body? People are starting, and there are solutions out there, I'm told. So, yeah, we can only cover so much of that. Or once again, yeah, so much for that First Amendment, you know? But, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe things like that are starting to break the veil, that people are going to start to ask critical questions about the things they're told. And you should doubt everything. Think about it. Everything you think you know has been told to you by profligate liars. These are people that if they told you the sun rose, you would go out and check. But all of a sudden, we turn our brains off when it's concerning certain things. Like I said, just go out there, ask critical questions about everything. All right, so next good news story. Was that even good? Yeah, I'm going to call that good news. All right. So, next good news story. Target doubles down on wokeism by promoting LGBT pride strategist. Okay, so why is that good news? Because you're putting yourself out of business. Now, I feel sorry for the people that work there. Yeah, not happy for you, but obviously there can't be a vacuum in the market. So, if Target wants to continue to go woke like they are, you'll continue to go broke like they are. So, instead of Andy Frisella did a really good show. In fact, a number of shows explaining why these big corporations are doing what they're doing, like Budweiser and some of the others, even though it's political suicide. I mean, even though it's marketing suicide.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on some of his shows. I've got to get caught up.
Well, he's talked quite a bit about it. And the bottom line is that these guys, they're basically they're puppeteers, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. They control all the levers of power because they pretty much own everything. You doubt me? Go look for yourself. Go examine it. So anyway, the more they start this woke stuff, I think even the people who would ordinarily be okay with that stuff are starting to say, come on already. I mean, enough of this stuff, man. Can we, you know, I can't even put bread on the table and this is what you're worried about?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, inflation's through the roof. And like Jack Spirko was talking about in his podcast today, I think in places like Turkey, I think he said it was like inflation. No, the interest rate was like 60%. Yeah. Wow. Well, it may be coming this away. So hold on to your hat, y'all. All right, so the other good news. All right, so this is really, really, really good news if you ask me, because in addition to the things I described earlier, this is something that I do every day. And because it works so well for me, I've gotten her to get back in the saddle on doing it too, and that's meditation. So this article is basically talking about the science-based benefits of meditation, and I'll just kick off a few of them. Some of the obvious ones, like reduces stress. Not only does meditation do that, what else helps you with stress?
Deep breathing. Deep breathing.
Yep, we talked about that. Breathe with Sandy, and that 5-minute coffee breathing routine. If you only got 5 minutes, believe me, that thing will straighten you out. And I mean it. I mean, so yeah, deep breathing also combined with grounding. Yeah, you can do all this stuff. None of it has to be in isolation. But the meditation is also, I know I've talked about this a lot, but the meditation goes a long way in trying to be the guy she deserves, okay? All the time. And getting rid of some of this stuff that you're just on autopilot about. And the same thing with her.
Yeah.
So when she starts to get an attitude, you know, well, no, it also controls anxiety. That's one of the reasons I sought it out in the first place. Obviously promotes emotional health, enhances self-awareness. I don't know about all that. I mean, I was pretty self-aware before.
Yeah. I think it enhances self-awareness. I mean, it helps you catch those thoughts that.
Yeah. I don't know why I said that. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. That you're not supposed to let slip by.
Yep. It doesn't slip your awareness. I mean, I was a complete. Obviously, that stupid statement slipped by my awareness. Lengthens attention span. You know what? I would agree on that. And here's why. Because I've become a more patient man. Typically, with animals, I can get them to do anything you want them to do. I mean, I know how to deal with animals, and I'm very patient. Less so with people. Mostly because I'm expecting people to exercise the same common sense that animals do. Now, I will say... No, I ain't talking about you.
No, I was going to say something about you're more patient with Milk Boy than you are with any other animal.
Yeah, because he's the greatest Pyrenees. He's not any great Pyrenees. He's the greatest Pyrenees.
And he listens the least. Milk Boy's like, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Well, you know, he's a great Pyrenees, and he's in his terrible twos, which seem to last for about 5 years. But yeah, I mean, well, as a little side note there, I mean, think about this. If you got to, and I've talked about it before, if you got a sheep jumping the fence habitually, you're going to put them in a pot. You got a chicken, you got a rooster in particular that's getting violent, in the pot he's going to go. You got a cow that's violent, yep, you're going to put them in the freezer. So if I have so little, why do we have higher standards for our livestock than we do the people we surround ourselves with? You know, that's honestly,
good question.
Honestly, think about it, y'all. You got farm animals that behave better than a lot of the people you come across.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we ain't gotten to the point where I'm going to stick anybody in a stock pike yet, but
you think about it.
It has crossed my mind a time or two. Yeah, man. Yes. Can generate kindness. Yeah, definitely does that. May help fight addictions, improve sleep. I never tried it for that, but maybe that does help. Controls pain, decrease blood pressure, all those things. So, it's these free healing modalities. Yeah, there's some out there that can cost you money, but there's a whole lot of them that don't. So be on the lookout for a lot of that stuff. All right. So with that said, we're going to lean into the main topic. And it's going to take me a second to get to it here, y'all. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Look, if you just got in, be sure to hit that thumbs up so they know to suppress this right off. They're going to do it later on anyway, so just give them a hand up right now. So hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody, and y'all, if you would, also give us a 5-star rating on any podcast app you may be listening. I know that it's kind of a burden to do for a lot of people. If nothing else, just get on there and talk about how hot the homestead honey is. I mean, yeah, honey, I'm looking at you in this camera, and yeah, you got it.
Especially with my glasses.
A tiger. T-I-G-E-R. All right. Before we get into the next one, y'all, I want to make sure we remind you that this segment of the episode is brought to you by EMP Shield. And you can get $50 off with promo code PERMA. I'm a journeyman electrician with 25 years experience. I've been at this a long time. And many of us think, oh, shoot, EMP jumps off. Yeah, that seems more real possibility than any other time in history. I got it. But your number one threat on your house is definitely lightning. Okay. I would have said that up until the last year or so, but you get the point. So there's nobody else that has a better guarantee than EMP Shield. If you're anything in your house gets past it and it gets Kentucky Fried, they're going to back you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. EMP Shield, promo code PERMA, get you $50 off. All right. So when I get a lot of emails and try to respond to as many as I can. A lot of them I do respond on here, and some of them, you know, I'm doing the best I can, y'all. We get inundated with a lot, so please bear with me. But there's a couple of them that actually, you know, there's all of them I'm paying attention to, and they give me pause, some of them. But this one in particular, because I went and checked out the story they told me about. Now, this one came to me from Troy and Jody. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want you to hear this out, because this stuff is starting to get real. Hi, Billy. We're reaching out to you with a very serious situation to bring to your attention. We know that you always talk about the importance of farm security. There was a situation very close to our farm slash home in our hearts. Our very good friend, Maddie Hastings, I'm saying her name because she was they did a news story on her, and she runs Hastings Corner Farm and Garden, is an urban farmer in Lawrence, South Carolina. She started basically 3 years ago and means to feed her family, sell to local restaurants, sell the truck, and donate a lot of it to the food share. Her farm also gives her opportunity to stay home with and take care of her three kids, very commendable, and one of which is a special needs child. She has received a lot of pushback from the local government and the community for the past 3 years, especially when she tried to put a pay what you can stand at the front of her garden. Nonetheless, she continues to grow on approximately 1 acre, supplies food to the local restaurants and all these other places. Well, anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning, someone came onto her property and killed the three pygmy Nigerian goats in the most horrific ways possible. Two of the goats were found with a puncture wound to the neck and one of the, okay, another to the puncture wound to the side of the head. Yeah, I could go on, but I'm going to leave it right there. All right. So first off, the consummate animal lover here. What's your first response?
They just would have, that would have started World War III. Somebody came onto my property and stabbed any of my animals.
Yeah, that's a dramatic pause. So look, the bottom line is, look, here's the reason I want to get after this. A while ago, I did a podcast talking about, I don't know if it was a whole podcast, but it was in the bad news section where guys that looked Middle Eastern or something like that were going around the farms in places in rural places and seeking to talk to kids about buying eggs or chickens or something of the like. Now, there was a situation the other day, one of the neighbors around here, somebody went through and damaged a bunch of his property. I don't know the full extent of what, but I know they did it. And then we got another neighbor where somebody came by with a vehicle, ran down one of his fences, and apparently rolled out of there. So, and then now you got something like this. Now, if you watch the news story of this lady, and I did, I mean, first of all, she seems, I love selfless people. I love them. Selfless in every way. You know, people that do things for V4CR, people that do things for animals, people that do things for others, people that do things for special needs kids, people that do things for the elderly, women's orphans, you get the point. Women's widows and orphans, women's. All right, women's. So you got all these selfless people out there that do incredible things. I mean, first of all, she's raising three kids. That in and of itself, trying to homeschool them is hard enough. Many of you ladies out there and guys out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Then one of them on top of it is special needs, which requires even more care. And yet somehow this lady has enough effort to have a garden in her front, which I would love to go there and film her sometime. And, you know, it sounds like she's doing wonderful things. Has a garden in front of her house, which apparently is aggravating the neighbors. Nobody knows for sure what neighbors.
So was that the motive? Is because they didn't like the fact that she had a garden producing food in her front yard instead of a lawn, which does absolutely nothing. Is that the reason somebody felt the need to?
I don't know the motive. I don't know the motive. It could be, I mean, there could be jealousy. It could be some aggravated neighbors. I mean, there were places that I knew of in Oklahoma specifically where if you even tried anything like that, you'd probably come home to a foundation where everybody was into growing useless lawns.
Right.
You know, I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I mean, that's your business. But this lady's literally, it looked very well manicured what she was doing out there in the front of her house. She'd been eating large quantities of caca from some of the neighbors and the people in the city, and it looks like they're trying to run her out. But there's also another thing I want you to consider. And folks, this is real, especially when you live a place like the Wiccan capital of America, and I think the world, which is Asheville, North Carolina. Don't think some of these folks, especially this time in the fall of the year, don't think that some of these people ain't just straight up Satanists. I mean, apparently, I mean, it's probably some sick SOB that's just out there just stabbing stuff. It could be, but a good old boy typically wouldn't go about doing stuff like that. Not like that. It would be done in another way altogether. But the thing that's flooring me right now is this stuff is happening over and over and over again. And look, it just rolled up in here. Thuggy. Thugnificent, the cat, if you don't know who that is. Anyway, this stuff keeps happening over and over and over again, whether it's violence or destroying somebody's property, whatever the case may be. Folks, you got to put in your security measures. And like they wrote in here, yes, I've talked a lot about it. In fact, probably on my most popular video is talking about homestead security. Now, if it's in an urban environment, well, it could mean even more because now you don't have this reach out and touch situation like we have here where you may have people rolling up and down the streets, lots of them. Well, it's going to be a little more easy for me to identify a threat, whereas for those of you in urban and suburban environments, it may not be so easy. So maybe you might look, even if the cameras aren't real, if you can't afford a camera system, if you can, game cams, yeah, but I know money's tight these days. So you can buy fake cameras. It worked. It works unbelievably well. If you put a bunch of them out there, you could have one real camera and six fakes, six dummies out there. Lighting, if you can get it going, get that done.
Yeah, even a dog. Like, I don't even think it would have to be like a livestock guard dog, just any kind of dog, really, that you could keep outside for something like that to happen. I mean, who knows, though? She probably didn't even expect something like that. Like, does that?
Well, lunatics do that, and it seems like we're getting more of them, more and more of them out there. And the bottom line is, you're going to have to do things you never even wanted to dream about having to do on your homestead. Look, let me just break this down. I know we don't have a bad news section, but I got news for you. Inflation is getting worse. It's going to get way worse. And the worse it gets, the more people are going to beat you over the head for your groceries. That sort of thing is already happening in certain cities right now. And it's going to happen closer to home than you know. So bottom line is, when you get down to brass tacks, y'all, you have got to get yourself secure in every conceivable way. And yeah, if you can get just one game camera or any kind of means to provide some oversight, like I said, they all don't need, or just put out the sign there, property protected by surveillance, anything like that, or electric fence. It ain't even got to be hot. It could be the threat. Remember, to make something impenetrable is military doctrine. You need an obstacle. You need an obstacle. It needs to be covered by a threat, and it needs to be observed. Well, that observation can also come in the form of, quite literally, technology. Okay? That threat could be a guard dog. It could be that 45. It could be any number of things. But I got to point it out this way. You could have a fake hot wire going along top of your chain link fence and just put signs out there, say energized fence. Do you think you're going to be the one they go to first? It's creating lighting. All these things happen in the dark. If you had good lighting, chances are those things wouldn't happen in the first place. But who could even, I mean, this poor lady, She seemed like a real sweet lady. What poor person would ever think, with all she's dealing with right now, raising a family, special needs kid, dealing with the government. Yeah. And then this is the last thing she ever thought she'd have to deal with. And she got these, as I understand it, if I remember the story correctly, she got these from somebody. They were basically rescue animals, if I remember this correctly. There was a lot of space between the time I read this story until now. But the bottom line is, you got some downright lunatics out there that are going to steal everything you have if you don't make yourself a harder target. You don't have to be the hardest target. You just have to be a harder target. And like I said, just employ some of the things. Good lighting. And remember those three fundamental things. If you doubt me, that is military doctrine. I know that because it's what I used to do for a living, is putting in those very obstacles I'm telling you about. That's part of what I did as a sapper. Now, granted, I'm not going to have, well, I could have tripwires out there. I even did a video on that. There's a bunch of different mechanisms you can use. And sadly, we've hit a state of affairs where you really got to consider some of this homestead security.
Yeah.
Dogs, you know, Michelle, like you said, it could even be a yappy dog.
Right. Something that would make, something that would at least make noise if something came around.
Yeah. It's, look, folks, I mean, I hate to be the one to have to tell you this stuff, but when I read that email, I'm like, you know what? There's a whole lot of people out there that are probably going to be in the same, whether it's some sick, satanic ritual abuse or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's where I kind of lean into some of this, whether it's some of that or whether it's just some lunatic neighbor. I mean, it could be all of the above. Just protect your stuff, y'all, because we're getting to that time where it's starting to become very, very consequential in the worst kind of way. All right. So with that said, before we go to the next segment, I want to remind you this segment is brought to you by thetexasboys.com. Go check them out over there, y'all. They got this food forest in a box. And hey, I got some happy news to report. Michelle, okay, so I took their food forest in a box. I even did a video of where I planted some of this stuff out there. Okay, doing, you know, near as I can, I'm doing everything I know to do to make this stuff come up. But I also put some in the house. And guess what? One of the pears, it's coming around already. Yeah, so I'm pretty impressed so far. They're selling that food forest in a box. Everything else over there, I think you get 5% off with promo code PERMA. So go check out the Texas Boys. Plus, they got the Fearless podcast, and it is well worth the listen. Also, they got the Texas Boys YouTube channel. Probably the most, I think these guys have been teetering on 100,000 for probably 6 months. They get up to 99.9 and they're like, oh, snap. Yeah, what they're doing over there is pretty cold-blooded. And yeah, because these guys are speaking truth to power. That's why I reached out to them. So go check them out, y'all. If you haven't, go over there, subscribe, man. Get these guys over 100,000. Maybe YouTube will take the governor off and let more people hear what they're talking about, not only on the YouTube channel, but also in their podcast. All right, straight into the Q&A. What do you got, honey?
All right, I do have a couple questions that people have that I've caught in the comments. One of the questions was, what are the ingredients for the medicine?
What medicine?
That I gave Nala.
Oh.
So they're traditional Chinese combinations. So the place where I get them is Kan Herbs, K-A-N Herbs. They sell them on YouTube, but the Benefit hips and knees combination is supposed to kill Lyme disease. Also, wormwood kills Lyme disease too. So that's just a couple of them that you can.
Well, you got some of that growing down there, down the hill.
Right. Yep.
Yep. All right. So Aaron, he's from Northeast Oklahoma, starting out on his journey, setting up a permaculture paradise, soaking up the podcast episodes and studying whenever I can. Let me jump down to here. He says, basically, he's got some silver pasture. He's trying to clear it out for some orchard. And he's got some Shetland sheep out there. Basically, he's wondering if bone sauce works on sheep the way it does on deer. No, it does not. We used to think it might. Certain breed of sheep, possibly, but I don't. Yeah, I put some on an apple tree that I didn't mind losing. It was basically apple rootstock. And I'd only put it on the stem. I didn't put it on the branches they didn't bother the area that I put it on, but they did eat the leaves. Whereas deer, usually when you hit those branches, they usually don't even come that close. I mean, there's some cases where they do, but if you need any bone saws, go check us out at the website. What else you got, honey?
Where is the best place to learn to use my multimeter?
Oh, shoot. Well, as far as multimeters go, you know, there's all types and it's hard to know. I don't know which one you have. I'm going to say Fluke is the best. That's the one I like. And I'm sure there's plenty of YouTube videos out there. I haven't done anything on that. Yeah. So anyway, let's see here. So Sinclair sends me this video about who's that guy in California, man? Ron.
Oh,
shoot. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, no, I just
yeah,
I just lost.
Basically, the ghetto farmer or the ghetto Ron Finley. Yeah. So basically, he sent this video of Ron Finley doing an interview with a guy named Common. And basically, the guy is showing people in the hood how they can grow food. We really ought to be growing it everywhere. I mean, it's really amazing when I'm walking down through a city or something and I'm looking at all these spaces that would be great. Instead of just putting some ornamental tree up there, why not put an apple in there? I mean, I never understood that. So it just seems like a waste of space to me. Well, at least from where I'm standing, people could eat that. Here's a weird one for you. Somebody I trust. Okay, check this one out. I've never heard this one before. Somebody I trust giving me cattle free choice black. Somebody said giving blacksmithing coke to cattle was a really good dewormer every 3 months or so. Ain't ever heard of nothing like that, but it wouldn't shock me, man. Some of these old timers have solutions for things that seem kind of absurd, but they work. I never heard of it, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. I just never even heard of it before.
Yeah. There's somebody, Julia Levy DeBarclay, something like she's a, she has some natural, she's got a couple books, natural treatments for home and stable. She also has a dog and cat one, but she has some interesting concoctions in there. I think turpentine was one of them that she recommended.
Hey, some of this stuff, I mean, it may seem out there, y'all, but don't dismiss it right off. I mean, now, granted, I'd try some tests on some of this stuff. I wouldn't just say, here, Katie, drink this turpentine.
She has had extensive experience, I think. It's not something I would try myself.
So Mason saying, got the scrapsteading book. Thank you so much, Mason. And yeah, we still got that one for sale at the website. He was asking me to autograph it, but it was already sent out because we don't sit on orders. We send them out probably the next day after you order them. And by the way, Michelle, what's that deal? Are we still giving away comfrey crowns?
Yep.
We're still able to do that?
We're including a free comfrey crown with every comfrey cutting order.
Yep. So anyway, I sign every book that goes out, and I write something in it. And he asked me to put my favorite Bible verse, but it was already out down the road. And I don't know that I have a favorite, but one I definitely say a lot is Psalm 91. And that's really the whole chapter. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, I think we all need a lot of that these days. So, yeah, that's definitely one that's a big deal to me. You got anything?
What peach variety do you recommend for Massachusetts?
I really don't know.
I was trying to think, was there any peach trees that we saw at that one, at Amherst at their food forest?
I don't recall. I really don't know. Yeah. So this is in Massachusetts. They're asking?
Yeah. He said, yeah, he's in Massachusetts.
Yeah. So back in, you know what I do? I mean, Michelle just kind of provided the solution there. I really don't know. So if I were living in Massachusetts, which is what it is, I've worked there before. Trust me, I know. I would honestly hit up the permaculture department. It's not a department, but I would reach out to Amherst at UMass over there. The people that are running that food forest that they have over there, which is really, really something else right now. It's light years beyond what it was before. And if I recall, I think there were two peaches over there. I would hit them up because obviously those peaches are growing. So you're going to need something that can, Yeah, I know there's something that works up there. I just don't know what it is. So I'd hit them up and find out. So somebody was asking, how old are the young chickens you started in the chicken tractor on steroids? And how old do you keep them in? Do they fly out when you take them out there? So I've started them out as early as 2 weeks outside. 2 weeks after hatching, I put them outside. Obviously, that's going to be dependent on the time of year. And I've done exhaustive videos on how that works. We double, triple up the fence, the whole nine yards. We get the chickens in there, make sure we don't get them dive bombed by any predators. And then they're going to stay in that system for no longer than 16 weeks because you can almost set your clock to it. Once you hit 16 weeks on them roosters, man, it's going to be total mayhem. So you got to get them out by that. I mean, if you have a regular flock, you can run them indefinitely and then take out some of the birds as you want to eat them. So, I was thinking about redoing that system where you have it making your compost, and in the same token, you're taking out birds and putting in new ones all the time to keep your egg laying. I mean, you could be taking out your older birds, putting them in a pot, and then replacing them immediately. I mean,
just keep it going.
Yeah,
you could cycle of new birds.
I haven't done it yet, but it wouldn't be that hard to do. Think about it. You could have that chicken tractor on steroids kicking, absolutely producing all the eggs you need. 1 to 3 cubic yards of compost per week could absolutely do that. And in addition to that, you could be extracting all of the chicken in form of meat out of that system. And I was thinking, every 4 weeks or so, you could be rotating out birds in that thing, depending on how big a flock you had. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do the math where you could be constantly policing meat out of the system and putting new stuff in. We've done a lot of videos on that thing. So if anybody ever gives it a shot, let me know, because I think it would be a really good way to go about it. What do you got, honey?
I'm fresh out of questions.
Well, I got a bunch here on my end, we'll get to the ones in the chat here. Okay, so this one here, it's rather lengthy. I will try to make this short. I live in North Carolina, about 45 minutes east of Charlotte Highway. I have some trees. I have an old chicken barn about 100 years old and 20 acres and a hay crop that used to be blacksmith. This property has been row crop for 30 years before I bought it. I would love to start one of these. Okay, I'm going to have to get to it here because this is rather lengthy, but basically, I'm one person. I work full-time from home, and I'm overwhelmed when I watch your videos. Not in a bad way, but it's just a lot of work. I have a 24 by 48 hay shed, run-in shed that I can put out rain barrels on, connect those, have a pump. Okay, I got to get down to the question. Do you give in-person tours or in-person tutorial about how you mix your liquid fertilizer? We've done videos on that. Basically, the video before last, I think we actually covered that in detail. And I wouldn't call it liquid fertilizer. I guess you could, but it's basically a compost extract is really what it is. If so, and then they're asking, do we do on-farm tours? I'll be honest with you. Okay, look, I don't know how to say this without coming off like a jerk, but we've already had a number of people that have just decided to show up. And I'm not a person that uses profanity these days. But trust me, I might knock the mothballs off some words that people just show up unannounced because of the weird state that we live in right now. And people just, you see a gate there, and if you go past it, I don't know what your intentions are. I got to be that way for a whole variety of reasons. I've also been reticent to giving. We talked about doing it last spring as far as doing tours, and I'm a little bit reticent for a variety of reasons. Look, y'all, I'm going to say this as frankly as I know how. I really don't know how to say this politely, but I'm going to be as polite as I can manage. We have so many weird things and weirdos going on in this world right now that I'm seriously concerned about bringing anybody I don't know over. Because let's just say things jump off. And because a person came here for a tour, you think this is the place to go when things go sideways. It is not. I don't know how to say it any other way. So right now, I'm really not, unless there's a few more security measures I would have to put in before I ever consider that. We had talked about doing it in the spring, and then the spring came and went. I'm like, I don't know about this. World's getting crazier. Do I really need, I mean, I know other people do this sort of thing, but I ain't other people. And I do have concerns. And I think I'm going to leave that one right there. And as far as consultations, I would highly encourage everybody to reach out to Eric Sider. Or if you're in Texas, reach out to William at permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. Eric Sider is really good at doing remote consultations. You'd be shocked at what he can do long distance. He is really, really something else. So I hope I didn't offend anybody out there. I just don't know how to answer this question because I get asked it a lot. Michelle, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not on that, but I do have another question if you wanted to move on to another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what's the difference between layers and meat birds? Do you not eat the layers when they pass?
When they no, well, if they die of natural causes, I'm probably not going to eat that one. He's going to go to the pigs or maybe a dog.
But there are, you can eat your layers. They're just typically tougher. So you also have dual purpose birds, which you can have for laying eggs and then you can eat also. The only thing you have to think about is when you raise meat birds, they're typically between eight and 14 weeks. And they're the most tasty, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, they're the most tender. Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of flavor in the Cornish cross, which is everybody, you know, which is a lot of what a lot of people grow. I'm not a big fan of those. For a whole variety of reasons that I probably stated before, but in a nutshell, they just don't act like chickens. And honestly, I get about the same out of those red broilers.
The ginger broilers?
Yeah. I mean, they're about the same weight. You just don't get the big breast on them. Well, the breast isn't the best part of a chicken anyway. You get bigger thighs. You get bigger legs. Those legs look like they came off of pterodactyls in some of these other breeds. So you don't get a massive breast, but... That, I don't know. To me, the breast ain't the best part anyway.
Right. The thing you just have to be careful is the layers, if they're like 2 to 3 years old, they're just going to be, they're probably the best to make bone broth out of. I wouldn't recommend eating them just because they're going to be pretty tough.
Or if you didn't want to eat it, you could turn that into dog food, even cat food or something like that. Or turn it into bone broth, like she said. It's going to be a higher protein rich bone broth, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But Michelle, are you able to see any of this stuff on the screen?
Yeah, I've been trying to get questions from the screen.
Yeah. So as far as those birds, yeah, you can. So Eric says in here, barred rocks are great dual birds. Yeah, they are. And there's a number of others too. Australorps, Rhode Island Reds. There's a long list of barred rocks are my favorite all time bird. Those Bielefelders, I really like them. Really like those. I haven't tried those breasties yet, but I've seen, I've actually heard a lot of great things about them. So still have yet to examine those within this, chicken tractor on steroids. Yeah. So Nicole Sauce said breastie chickens have a better flavor and lots of dark meat. Okay. I'll have to try them out. But I haven't tried them in the chicken tractor on steroid system, but honestly, I like birds that can serve both purposes. We still have a couple of those ginger broilers that we left as layers.
Right.
And they're still around. And the reason we kept them is because they escaped, they got out. And I'm like, okay, you guys were wily enough to get out of here. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Let's see if you work as a layer. And they do. So I'm a big fan, just like in permaculture, we never like a single-use item. We like items that can be multifaceted, that can be used for so many different things. And I see our animals the same way. That's why I don't have just one breed of chicken. So let's say there's some whatever that affects, let's say, a barred rock. Well, now you only wiped out my barred rocks, but I still got Australorps and Rhode Island Reds. Or let's say it wipes out one of the others. It's that level of redundancy where let's just say there's something in that breed that won't. There's always that preparedness quotient that we're putting into it. Same idea when you do a food forest or orchard. You never grow the same cultivar up and down there. So if I have, I'll never put two cultivars of the same apple by one another ever. So, yeah, thanks, 10 millimeter J. V4CA, V4 V4CR. That's what I'm talking about, my man. So yeah, you never want a single monocrop of anything. And I even include that down to the animals if I could possibly help it. Even in our sheep, it's not just one breed. I mean, we got multiple breeds in there for a whole bunch of reasons.
Okay. What do you recommend for learning about herbal and natural remedies? There's lots of good courses out there. I have not taken any. That's something that I would like to do soon. It's really just what I've picked up from either books or there's this one veterinarian that I happened to come across. And I can't remember his name that talks about traditional Chinese medicine for dogs. But I think Doc Jones, the homegrown herbalist, Denise at Renewed Homestead, she's taking his course and she says it's really good, but I've not taken it, so I'm not sure, but it's something I definitely need to do.
Yeah, but it's these types of things right now, y'all, that we're going to have to get really good at. I mean, a lot of people seem to have a high vote of confidence for Doc Jones. Wonderful. But it's these off. If you think MD stands for medical deity, I got news for you. Or if you think that in the coming times that, you know, maybe you can't afford to go to one. Or maybe, I'll put it this way, every chronic disease that I'm aware of has always been healed by naturopaths that I'm aware of. I don't know of any MD that are healing these things.
Well, and this is a concern that I have with going to the medical doctor. And I just ran into it. This is another part that I didn't talk about today that happened to us today is, you know, I've been able to put off the rabies vaccine for Nala up until today. And he just insisted on giving it to her. Well, I've done a little bit of research into the rabies vaccine, and I'm not convinced that it's anything that's needed, especially I won't get into it, but like I've heard stories about the vaccines are very concerning because you're not, I have heard of people going to the doctor thinking they're getting one thing and they ended up with a whole bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, that's another aspect of going to a doctor or a vet that.
Yeah, you're just going to have to tighten it up a little bit, honey, just because of the fact that you throw that V word out. You're going to have to, you'll learn this along the way that you're going to have to speak in code. Otherwise they will cut this whole thing.
I think they already have.
Yeah, they probably have, but we'll work on that in the future. Yeah. There's certain things. Yeah. And this bastion of free speech that you just can't say, like I said, I'm sure even though we didn't say anything lewd or outrageous, the powers that shouldn't be right here in this forum are basically going to demonetize this one like they do all the others. But it is what it is. All right. Well, hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Practicing medicine. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. Practicing on us. You got that right. East Texas living. My vet said rabies vaccines are overdone. Yeah, sure there are. A lot of them out there, y'all. Hey, y'all, thank you so much for checking us out tonight. It's been a joy to hang out with all of you. We're still working out the ropes and everything with my new partner in here. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive. They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. True spitting that man, a cottage. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.